Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
In the immortal words of Jerry, hello! Here's hour number two of the big show. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. Boys, I hate to do this, but I will be voice of reason. We have to start thinking about a Way Back Wednesday theme for tomorrow.
That's true, we do.
Yeah.
You should put this on Barry, because he's the one that's been out of town, going to all these different 92. Cities.
Songs from the year I graduated in 92. Because I was driving in, and I don't remember what song came on, but it was like a 90s on XM Satellite 90s on 9. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, oh, that's the year I graduated.
What's your schedule right after the show, Barry?
A good year.
Just curious, because if you got idle time, we know that list will be in within 10 minutes. For all the ribbing that I get.
I will let you guys go first.
Yeah,
I will wait. No, because I've got to go back to the condo and unpack and do all that stuff.
Oh, so the condo.
I drove straight from Tulsa to the studio.
Does the condo mean that they have indoor plumbing?
Yeah, well, I'm not in the country. I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas.
I'm just saying, you went from a cabin to a condo. It's like moving on up. It's like the Jefferson.
The cabin was 3 weeks ago. Last week was a house.
Hard to keep up. Like I said to everybody, the world tour is hard to keep track of.
I'm a busy man. Somebody on the text line wanted to know when Abamute is going to return. They're still aiming for the second series, obviously, but apparently he's ahead of schedule, but don't get excited.
Well, and as I told you guys, too, the one thing with a separated shoulder is once you do it the first time, you don't want to do it again, but the minute you do it again, it means that it's not tight enough. It probably is going to need some off-season twerking under the knife, and in the process, that means it can pop out again at any time. Now, I didn't say...
Did you mean tweaking or twerking?
What did I say?
You said twerking under the knife. I don't know if you want your doctor twerking while he operates on
it. Hey, whatever. If he's talented and he can multitask, there's no problem with it. Speaking of that, too, by the way, someone that's been missing you more than you will ever know has been waiting to get on the line with you. So OU Mike is waiting to welcome you back.
Oh, boy.
Mike, what's up?
Man, welcome back, Barry, or as we like to call you, Playoff B. kudos to Joel. Joel had some good guests while you were gone. He had Mario and Mooch, you know, with the rings and all that. Although I don't think any of them have the three-point hook shot in their arsenal. But I just wanted to welcome you back and say, be careful up there in Arkansas, man. The men are men and the sheep are nervous up there.
That was pretty tame. Even the hang-up was tame.
The men are men and the sheep are nervous?
Jeez.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Thank you for the kind words.
I think, Barry, Mike, throughout the 4 days that you were off, that Mike made a few attempts. Most were via text. None of them were even close. So is it fair to say, Nick, none of them were really even close as we tried to get, like, because we had to explain to Mario and Mucci and even Nate Griffin who OU Mike was. And I don't think he brought his A game until you got back on the air. So.
Okay. Well, it's good to see that I have a positive effect on OU Mike. This text didn't make any sense. The NBA needs revenue for more games, so I expect them to suspend Westbrook.
I said to Nick, the same exact thing you just said. It's like, if you want them to extend the series, you probably need him on the floor. So it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I think you mean the opposite, sir or ma'am, whoever texted that. Joel, I was a little late to the show. Can we get an update on the puppy? That's from White Magic. What did I miss?
Last week, Lisa with the station, the temporary station being in Third Ward, she rescued 5 more dogs. We found temporary homes and homes for 4 of them who were medically cleared. And the one, which we later found out, was more than probably owner abuse, is a dog that we spent all weekend with and fostering that is going to need to have his front leg amputated and may lose his eye at some point, but is just the sweetest, greatest dog, and he's only 4 months old. He's currently in surgery right now. They're going to try and save the eye. The leg is coming off today, but hopefully everything will be okay. He's going to have to spend at least 24 hours under sedation in the vet, but then we hope to have him at our place for at least the weekend so we can try to give him kind of a stable, warm environment where he can just kind of relax, and then we'll go from there. But the surgery's going on right now.
Have you ever owned a dog with three legs?
Lisa has. I have not. But look, I mean, the thing is we started a GoFundMe, and there's a lot. By the way, kudos and shout-outs all across the board to our listeners who came through in flying colors. Between Lisa's followers and everybody that listened to the show yesterday, we raised about $1,500 yesterday, which is fantastic for all the surgery and everything. But Sunday was a big day for the dog because everybody medically thought that he just didn't have it in him to even walk anymore because his leg was just, it was just dead weight that he was carrying around. And we brought him to a park in Midtown and he started running and chasing Lisa around and playing games. And that's when even the vet said he's going to be just fine when he realizes that it's just a balance issue. So hopefully the better days are ahead for this guy, and we'll keep you updated. But right now he is currently in surgery.
Okay, so he's having the leg removed today.
Yeah, there was nothing they could do. Because believe me, this thing was eating at me for 4 days before we spent the weekend. I had never seen him before. Lisa had. And I kept thinking, I was dreading the fact that he'd have to go through life without a leg and only be 4 months old. And then finally this weekend when I met him, I thought, you know what? He's got it in him and he's got energy. And I think and then when I saw him run on Sunday, I was like, man, it made me feel a whole lot better.
I'm fascinated, like, how do they, because, I mean, humans is one thing, you can communicate with them. It's hard to communicate with a dog that, hey, you're going to have to lean a little more to the opposite side or get your balance, or that's fascinating to me. Has there ever been a dog that's only had two legs? I imagine that they would have to be on opposite sides, right?
But like, here's
they would
the
have
thing.
To be, like, front, you know, right, back, left.
Yeah, you would, I don't know, but I think from what I've seen, and you mentioned that because I've seen some of these commercials recently where they have these people on them that are specializing in making prosthetics and ways for animals to get by with less than four limbs. And I started thinking about that, and I said to Lisa, you need to ask the vet because maybe there's a way that you can give him some kind of a crutch or support instead of using that leg. But they said because he's so young that it's going to be a lot easier once he just figures out that he's only got three. It is more difficult when one of them is the front leg. But again, it's like a tripod. I mean, Lisa laughed because we were trying to think of a name for the dog. And the one thing that I said was Cam. And she's like, why Cam? I go, because he's like a camera. He might only have one eye and only three legs on a tripod, but he can get by and he'll make the most of his life. And she's like, no, that kind of is mean. I'm like, we can call him Trey for three legs. But the fact of the matter is that this would be a lot more devastating if it was an older dog that got used to using all four limbs. So we're hopeful. We're hoping for the best. But I think everybody that I've checked with medically that I know that has experience with this said he should be able to adapt to the three-leg thing.
By the way, I Googled two-legged dog.
Okay.
I'm going to hell. I'm just going to tell you. It made me giggle a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Why?
But they have two-legged dogs, and one of them walks around like a person. He's missing his front legs. So he just walks around on his hind legs like a guy. Just like, hey, what's up? I'm a dog man.
I mean, the fact that you can develop the talent to walk on two legs, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. There's dogs I'm looking at a boxer that only has the two front legs. So he has basically, like, his body just stops at the ribs. He's got no ass. He's got a tail. But he's only got two front legs. And apparently he's chased a stick because he's holding a stick in his mouth. Like, he went and fetched it. That's pretty amazing.
It really is. I mean, and dogs are resilient animals. And so, like I said, look, I had felt the worst when I heard all the details without meeting this dog. And I'm thinking, you know, there are some people that have no heart that were just like, put the dog down immediately. But I was just, I was just thinking, like, how bad of a hand he had been dealt. But then after spending time with him this weekend, it's like, you know what? He's going to be all right. He's got a lot of resiliency.
You're going to keep him, aren't you? He's no longer a foster.
No, I kidded with Lisa about that.
He's
going to
be a blank.
No, you know what's amazing is we had a listener yesterday that has a three-legged dog and said that they've been looking forever for a dog to be a companion and that they really wanted to sign up based on how quick his recovery goes, that they have the same things in common. They might try it, and we're like, we would love for that to work out.
He's just going to use the dog. He'll probably just kill the dog and get a leg.
We actually have a listener on hold that kind of wants to talk to you about potentially taking over as a potential candidate.
Joel.
So just letting you know, Joel. So if you want to, in the break, want to reach out or just talk to him. A lot of people want to help.
I'm not going to be Jay Feely with his daughter on prom day. I'll be a better father than that. I'll be able to screen people more accurately, hopefully, than he can. By the way, Jerry said that in my mind, OU Mike looks like when he hangs up and it's pew and he's got a guy shooting like a lightsaber. But that's pretty much what we know of OU Mike. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's the usual suspects. And you can find us, as you always do, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Dedicated to all the DJs and dance crews all around the world.
Don't nobody want it. We hella hot at the moment. We're coming for all opponents.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Knee deep in hour number two of the show. Got a call, Barry, during the break by someone interested in possibly adopting the dog, which is fantastic, and then decided to share something that I thought you'd find very humorous. He said that they have a dog with only three legs, and her name is Lena, and that they have friends that only have a dog that only had one testicle, and they called him the Uniballer.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
He said, basically, you
Lena's
gotta
good.
Have fun with your dogs. I think Lena was very good.
Yeah.
But the Uniballer's not bad.
Lena. Somebody texted a picture of their three-legged pit bull. They were like, here's a picture of my three-legged pit. Somebody said, my wife and I have a three-legged cat. He lost it at birth. They can live perfectly normal lives. He has no back left leg. He walks with a little hobble, and he can't scratch his ear, but he plays like no other. Thanks for the love for animals. Let me tell you right now, if I couldn't scratch something, oh, no. Just put me out of my misery.
Especially with the work.
Could you imagine having an itch you can't get to?
Yeah, especially all that work you put into the manscaping area. I mean, yeah,
that would be bad.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to know, do we think the playoffs would be better if it was a 5-game series? No.
I don't at all.
I like the 7-game.
Yeah, I definitely, without question, think that.
I wish baseball would go
That's where I was going. You know what? Because as much as I love the fact that the wild cards get into the playoffs now in baseball, but the 1-game play-in to me is just too short of a series. I think in order to really define who is the better team, you got to go at least 3. But I think all in all, baseball could use more games and longer series.
Yup. I'm with you on that one. Speaking of, I haven't gotten to watch the Astros at all. I did go and play a little game that I played before I left, which was what was their record at this time last year? They're 1-game better than they were last year.
It's funny because I just did
all
a video.
All the freaking out, and they're 1-game better.
I just did a video that for a sports map that should be up, I think, by the end of the day on the Astros. But the biggest thing that I said was another week, another worry for a fan base that's just a little bit too hyper, under a microscope, critical of this team right now. Because remember, a week ago, as you and I both highlighted, everything was about the bullpen. But then they win 6 in a row, and they average about 10 runs a game in the White Sox series, and they sweep them, and they're doing all these things. And now all of a sudden it's, well, what are they going to do with Gattis? What are they going to do with Mariznick? He's awful. And I mean, Jake Mariznick is like enemy number one right now because of his strikeouts. And then they start questioning Fisher, and it's up and down the list. Look, with all the things that you just said, I just got done telling you the team swept the White Sox, averaging 10 runs a game pretty much. Just let it play out. A week ago, you were ready to capsize the ship because of the bullpen. Now it's the bats at the end of the lineup. Bottom line is, even last night, and look, I didn't think that Skaggs? I just didn't think last night that a guy that was only topping out in the high 80s was a guy that could shut this lineup down. But tip your hat. He pitched a hell of a game. So did Cole. But, you know, just two mistakes is all it took, and they lose 2-0, and it's just one game.
I don't know why people are freaking out about Jake Mariznick. He's never been a guy that hit for, he's never been a hitter. He's a defensive replacement. Why is everybody losing their mind over this? Do you, all of a sudden now he's Willie Mays out there in center field and supposed to be putting up these ridiculous numbers? He's a lifetime, like 225 hitter. That's what Jake Mariznick is. I know he found some pop in his bat, and you can credit that to launch angle or whatever. He hit 243 last year with an on-base of 319, which is horrible, by the way.
Yeah.
Jake Mariznick is what he's always been. Well, why are you freaking out? He's a backup.
Here's the other thing about Jake Mariznick is people got a little bit high on Jake Mariznick because he started to show a little pop in his bat. He started getting some home runs early this season, too.
Stop
you
it.
Know, he went deep, and everybody's like, oh, you know, he's really finding his swing. But I'd say the same thing almost that you said about Jake Mariznick for Marwin Gonzalez. I think that you and I both were in agreement. Look, last year was not what the epitome of his career has been. Last year was a unique set of circumstances where he just put lightning in a bottle and he continued to hit throughout the season. He's going to come back to the means a little bit. He's going to come back down a little bit. He's not going to hit 300 plus. He's not going to be in the top 10 in the American League in hitting, but he still does a lot of good things. And we know that he's so versatile and can hit anywhere in the lineup. He's a switch hitter. He plays multiple positions in the field. So it's not like he has to be a 300 hitter, but don't expect every year to be like last year at the plate was for a guy like Marwin Gonzalez.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I preach it all the time. These guys will regress to their mean. They might play out of their minds for a little while, but coming back down to earth, I mean, that's why you look at career numbers for guys, because it's going to tell you what this person really is as opposed to what they did. When you talk about last year with Marwin Gonzalez, you have to have those type of things happen in order to win a World Series. That's what made the year so magical. You got career years out of guys like Marwin Gonzalez. Probably not going to happen again, but you know what? You don't win the World Series every year either.
But where are you on Fisher? Because, look, let's be honest. We all remember Bregman got off to the worst of worst starts when he first came up, but he settled in. And again, Bregman played well in the playoffs, hit the heck out of the ball. But Bregman, again, is kind of where Bregman is probably going to be in terms of what he hits for from an average perspective. Fisher is a guy that was in every trade conversation. Everybody talking about a top prospect. Everybody talking about the five tools, all those different things. Where are you on a guy that we can't clearly define what the means is for him yet, but is it that we maybe he was overvalued, or maybe he just hasn't gotten comfortable at the big league level?
Yeah, I mean, he's not playing every day, and that's probably causing some of the issue. You need those guys. You've got, you know, it's just like shooting your way out of a slump. You've got to hit your way out of a slump. But if you're not playing every day, then the slump appears to be prolonged, or it feels like it's prolonged because you're only seeing the field every couple of days, or you're a defensive replacement, or you get a pinch hit. That's not going to get you out of a slump. I think you still got time with Derek Fisher. I mean, he's under control forever. And even if he's just a guy that, you know, is a pinch runner, look what that did for you last year in the World Series. He scored a big run. So
yeah.
I think you hang tight. And I think Alex Bregman will actually be a guy that hits 290 in the big leagues. He hit 284 last year. I think he's capable of that. What I'm impressed with is you know, he's only hitting like 240, but his on base is up near 350. So at least he's drawing walks. At least he's up there being selective and taking pitches and getting on base.
Wait, Mariznick's not?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he has no walks on the year.
Well,
I mean, if
52% strikeouts.
Yeah, if you've got a guy, it doesn't matter if they get on base via single or walk. They're standing on first base.
Yeah.
That's why you don't worry about average. That's why a lot of times baseball guys nowadays don't even care about average. I don't care that Alex Bregman is hitting 244. He gets on base 35% of the time. That's great. I'll take that all day.
And I think the main thing that people lose sight of, because they're getting spoiled by how good this starting rotation is the fact that even when your bats go a little bit silent at the, you know, in certain spots, the fact of the matter is when you've got a starting rotation of guys that are four of the top five guys in strikeouts, three of the top five guys in earned run average, and you're talking about seeing these guys in a rotation like in this homestand where they just keep turning it over, and Cole leads the major leagues in strikeouts, and Verlander has a 1.10 earned run average, and you go up and down the list and you go, you know what? That right there is enough to keep you afloat and winning games when your offense isn't at full strength or doing what you expect them to do. And that's what a luxury that most teams in this league just don't have.
Absolutely. I mean, it's think of it this way in terms of basketball. It's like if your shot's not falling, at least you can play a good defense.
Yep.
If you're not putting up a ton of runs, you can win games 2-1, 3-2, as long as you have good pitching. So they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine all year. That bullpen's going to be fine. The Astros are in a great spot right now. If the worst, If people are getting upset about Derek Fisher and Jake Marisnyk, that tells you everything you need to know about how good the Astros are.
Absolutely. And the other thing is tip your cap to the Angels, because the fact of the matter is the Angels were a mess last year and Trout was hurt. But they went out because they knew they're competing with the Astros. Everybody can look across the league and say there's this good team, there's that good team. In their division, they knew it all starts and ends with the Houston Astros. They went out and added pieces like Ohtani, who's going to pitch tonight, like Kapler at second base, like Upton, and some of the guys that they added just to try and compete with the Astros. So as it stands early in the season, tip your cap and say, hey, they're better. But the Astros, better or worse, still have the same lineup intact with better pitching, and that says it should speak volumes as to what this team is, to your point, that they should still be competing for a World Series title, not just worried about what's in their division.
You mentioned Ohtani, by the way, and I've been fascinated by what he's done and what he hasn't done and the ups and downs of it, and everybody's getting really high and really low.
Yeah.
But this pissed me off. I was looking at ESPN, and if you go to their Major League Baseball section, they'll have a listing, a subheading of like home, score, schedules. They have an Ohtani tracker. Let's slow down, ESPN, please.
Nick, are you going to the game tonight? Because I'm interested to get your pictures and perspective. From what I've heard, the traveling media is a lot what Yao's traveling media used to be. They say that it's like 10 times what the normal media is when he's in the city, especially on a game when he's pitching and he's in the lineup.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. I mean, fans from there are actually pretty loyal. So I've seen there's been a bunch of games last season and even I'm pretty sure a few games this season where you saw that type of media there, and they consume the press box. So, yeah, I mean, if I go, yeah, I'll let you know for sure.
Yeah, definitely interested in seeing that. And Barry, I want to give you props as well, because as we get closer and closer to the first round of the NFL draft Thursday night, which is crazy that it's upon us, the guy that you projected a while back is climbing the charts and could be the number one overall. So we want to make sure we mention that as well as everything else in the second half of the show. We'll step away for a quick break. We're going to take our playoff pee, and then we'll be back for the second half. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the second half of the show. 90 in the rear view, 90 still to go. It is the Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. You guys have been great on social media, as you always are. And again, shout out and thanks for all you guys, the suspects that raised all this money for this dog. Someone had another great name for a female dog that's a tripod, and that would be Eileen. That's very funny. And Michael, who is very interested in adopting the dog, was saying to your question, Barry, that his tripod, Emma, had surgery around 10 months after she was hit by a car. He came across her 3 weeks post-surgery, adopted her, and she's been going strong ever since. So hopefully three legs is better than two, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and Heath from Galveston sent a picture of his, they call her High Five. Her front leg, it's a cat, her front leg is fused to her rib cage.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, what?
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
And then White Magic wanted us to know that he's also has three legs.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, tripod. Patrick wants to get in here and talk about more sensible things like the Astros. Patrick, what's up?
Hey, guys, man. Thanks for taking my call. I hear your point, and it's a good perspective to have that, you know, the pitching, the strong pitching staff will get this weak hitting or problems with hitting through troubled waters. But I have a different perspective on that. I see the danger, at least, of the pitchers getting worn out because they have to stay in games longer and throw more pitches and hold the team afloat if no runs are being scored. And that might wear them out towards the end of the year, where when the playoffs hit, they don't have that gas to go. And it also could cause problems in the locker room if, you know, pitchers are feeling like they're putting too much effort out and they're the only reason the team is afloat. And I saw that with my team last year. And I absolutely think that it could be a problem.
Okay. I'm going to disagree. First of all, this is a team that has scored the fourth most runs in the American League, so it's not like they're not scoring. Now, a lot of that came against the White Sox. Right. But
let's not forget they got swept by the White Sox a year ago.
You're going to get 9 innings of pitching no matter what. And you've got guys that can go deep in ball games, whether they're down a run or up 3 runs. And so you're not going to do that. This starting rotation are the best pitchers on this team. You want your best pitchers on the mound at all time. If the fifth starter was a true fifth starter and not Charlie Morton, then you would be worried about the bullpen being taxed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys that are supposed to go out there and get you 6 or 7 innings. That's their job, and it doesn't tax them. That doesn't exhaust them. You know, if you got guys that are going 8 and 9 innings, that means that they're probably dealing. They don't hang around just because.
Here's the thing, too, Barry, to your point, because I'm right on the same page with you on this. And the fact of the matter is when you look at it and you look at what these starters have done, there is not a ceiling yet because it's early in the season. So the pitch count's going to be a little bit less than what they will be doing by midseason. And there's the potential when we know how long Verlander can go in games. When you look at a guy like Cole, who looks like a workhorse, who can throw more than 100 pitches pretty consistently. McCullers is a guy you probably could keep an eye on. But Morton has, you know, he's had some injuries, but thankfully they weren't arm injuries. But as these guys get more and more warm and more their arm is in condition for midseason form, they could probably even go a little deeper in games. Right now, I think Hinch is very smartly bordering on getting him out sooner rather than later. The one thing that you and I didn't get a chance to talk about because you've been out and we've been very basketball focused with the guests, but I really wanted to get your opinion on. I thought one of the games that we'll go back and look at and say is a game that takes a together team and brings them even more together is Cole's last start, because they knew that he was going into the seventh inning. His pitch count was up. It was a 1-1 ball game. And he had 14 strikeouts. They knew that it was a game which he deserved to win and they hadn't done anything. There's so many times when the lineup wants to do something and just can't get it done. Instead, they put a 6 spot up and they won the game 7-1. And I was like, write that down right there, because they were able to come up big and come to the defense of a pitcher that was going to get stuck with a no decision. And they also made up for a game that they let get off the hook the last game he threw when he had a 5-run lead and got a no decision because they blew it. That brings a team together when they can say, right when he needed us most, we were there for him because of what he's been able to do. And I just said, look, you might not see it on paper, but I'll go back to that game and say right after that is when they started putting big numbers on the board and the offense started to wake up. And I thought that was a big game for them that people might not have realized just by a casual glance.
Yeah, I mean, hitting's contagious. You always hear that phrase, but it's true. Once guys around you start hitting and somebody kind of breaks the seal, then you see the offense start to take off, which it did. I mean, in the White Sox series, I think they outscored them like 27-2 or some ridiculous number like that. So yeah. That's kind of that game that you mentioned and that inning that you mentioned is kind of when the offense found its stride, so to speak. And they're going to struggle. There are going to be days where they only put up 2 runs or they don't score at all. That's going to happen.
It happened last night.
For the most part. Yeah, but for the most part, I think you're right. They're back. And to the caller's point, one more thing. Last year was a different circumstance, but what he talked about is what happened last year. There were so many injuries to this rotation that the bullpen was taxed, because they couldn't get deep into ball games, and that wore the bullpen out. And if you look at it, after all those injuries, the bullpen is what really struggled down the stretch. After being lights out, being the best bullpen in baseball at the beginning of the year, they struggled at times at the end of the year because everybody was so tired. So when your starters are able to go deep into ball games, it saves the rest of your pitching.
No question. Here's the other thing. The other beauty of the White Sox series, aside from all the runs they scored, and it was 27-2, was the fact that their bullpen could get some work where it didn't have to be a stressful situation, where a guy like Giles had a couple of games where he could get in, get some activity, work on some things. We know that Verlander's been working with him on his delivery. We know that whether it's true or not, he's had some back issues, some things that they've been trying to get him some rest for, but then they know that he, from a mental standpoint, he needs to get out there and get innings pitched. He got them, but they were in a less stressful situation. It was a more conducive environment, and guys were able to work on things. Sip got innings. You know, all the different guys that got work didn't have to worry about being in a tie game or a stressful situation. That helps, because that's often stuff that you can only do in a bullpen session. You can't get while you're on the field, and that's why it was so important to get that early in the season with the White Sox.
Yeah, somebody wanted to know, do we think that the Astros will have back-to-back MVPs?
I'm not even worried about that, but I would say the short answer is no. I mean, you look at the start of Mike Trout again, and he's got 8 bombs. He's been hitting the cover off the ball, and you go up and down the list. Mike Trout's is like LeBron James in basketball. Every year he's going to be in the discussion. Now, that's not to discount what Jose Altuve can do and does, but even from an Altuve perspective on an MVP campaign last year, he hit 24 bombs. He hasn't hit a home run yet. So there's still potential for him to get better, do more, put some things on the table. But quick answer for me is no.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's so hard to get one MVP when guys like Mike Trout in the league, and don't sleep on Aaron Judge. Manny Machado is putting up numbers that are ridiculous already. It's so difficult, and I realize the contributions of Carlos Correa, because I'm assuming that's who he means, as the other MVP that could make it back to back.
Jake Marisnick.
It's just so difficult. No.
Just had to throw it out there because, everything turns around for the Astros.
I would bet everything I own that Jake Marisnick wouldn't win an MVP.
I'm going to give you the if there is a chance for two, I'll give you a name. Justin Verlander.
No.
I've seen it happen before. You know what? With as good as this rotation is and what we've been talking about, there's always a chance. But I think that's a better chance than anybody else.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I saw it happen in Milwaukee with Raleigh Fingers and with Pete Vukovic, where it's not just about the Cy Young. You can also win an MVP that way. And didn't Verlander do it once already?
Yeah, but you know who those guys didn't have in their league? Mike Trout.
Okay, but you know what? We've seen lesser pitchers come up with big undefeated records late in the year just simply because of the luck of the draw and other things. But I realize he only plays only every fifth day. But
that's why it's never happened.
It's happened before. It could happen again. I'm just saying. All right. Robert, we see you hang in there. You've got a question about the Miami Heat game. That ought to get us to change our tempo a little bit because we know we're all on fire like Dell about the Heat. But the Heat is on. Definitely, we'll continue to roll. And by the way, Barry, the Heat is on in more ways than one. The new lighting they've put up in the studio could basically light all of Pasadena on a fog-filled
evening.
Yeah, I can
see Joel, completely clear right now.
I'm glowing in the dark. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up the live stream. Is it live yet? Or are they
publicizing it? It's not live because AD's in here with a ladder and a bunch of tools. And no,
of all people, should be very happy you're not here today, because the amount of distractions and work going on while we're on the air is at an all-time high.
Okay.
Yeah, Joel looks pretty ugly in there. When you get there, Barry, it's going to be twice as ugly.
That was really nice.
You go to hell.
Yeah. Bring Nick some fried bologna, and if it's tainted, it doesn't matter. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, almost done with hour number 2 of the 3-hour show. It is Barry, it is Nick, it is Joel, it is The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN at 97.5. You guys have been great on the participatory level today, again, with social media. Catching us on Twitter, dropping us some texts, calling in the show. We've got callers on hold. Lawrence and Robert, hang tight. We're going to get you in just a minute. And Barry, you are back in studio Monday?
Correct, sir. Correct.
Okay. So we've got a couple more of these to go before we get back to the real regular show, but a lot.
I mean, I'm here. It's the regular show. We're doing the show.
Okay. It's a little more.
Is it not?
It's just very different for us on this end doing it
like
that.
You like seeing
that.
My face.
No,
like,
I really
you
don't.
You like looking at my face.
Nick
sitting right next
you.
To you.
We mentioned this throughout the last 4 days, how much Nick missed you.
Well, that was you mentioning it for the past 4 days, not me.
Yeah.
I definitely don't miss Barry.
What?
Wow.
Gee,
no,
thanks,
sir.
Guys. I feel the love. Somebody had a question on text. Can a pitcher be taken out of the game and come back in later? No.
No.
Nope.
But the reason why that comes up is Ohtani.
Yeah. Nope. So can't do it. Now, you can a pitcher can pinch hit for the designated hitter.
Yeah. Pinch run. Yeah. No, but not but not if they pitch in that game.
Yeah.
They could pitch in that game.
So you don't lose him.
Leave that game? Or stay in the game and replace. Yeah, they have to concurrently be in the game
when
they.
He can bat. Let's say that the designated hitter is gets hurt or whatever. Right. You can pinch hit. The Ohtani could pinch hit for the DH and stay in the game.
But it's not essentially pinch hitting. It's taking over for the DH because he's already pitching in the game,
you lose
right?
The DH spot. Yes, right. Correct. Yeah. If you pinch hit, you lose the DH spot with the pitcher. Correct.
All right. So we've got different topics to talk about. One with the Miami Heat question. One with a draft question. So let's go with Robert first, who's been holding the longest. He wants to ask this Miami Heat question. What's up, Robert?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up, man?
Yeah, man. I got two questions for you, man. What is the chances that Miami Heat win tonight? And do you think that they can cover the spread plus 10? I'll sit back and listen.
Go ahead, Barry. All you.
The spread is 10?
I'll tell you this.
According to the call, I haven't even looked it up. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it right now. At home? Philly's at home? No.
I mean,
I don't think that they're going to cover, but I'm not a gambling guy.
I would say if you want to call back during the blitz, they could be probably break AJ will break that down for you with the odds and everything. I'd say the odds of the series are over tonight, 80%. I think Philly wins. They put them away. I don't know if they win by 10 or more, but I think that
it's been such a Jekyll and Hyde series. When you look at like game one, the Heat get blown out 130 to 103. They come back and win game two and keep it close. I mean, they win by 10. Then they get blown out again by 20 at home for game three. They lose, you know, by 4 points again. It's just been this weird Jekyll and Hyde. And I mean, Philly's going back home. It's a chance to close out the series. They're a minus 800, which just tells you how heavily they're favored. Vegas is usually pretty accurate with the point spread. So 10 is probably about what this would be, a 10-point win for the Sixers. I mean, I don't know if I would trust Miami as Jekyll and Hyde as they've been.
I just think I really anticipated when the series went back to Miami that the Heat would get at least one game at home. And when that didn't happen, and the fact that the Sixers are out there saying that, look, the process is not about to wait a couple more years. The process is now, and we're ready. I think that I can see a Miami team that has been a lot of heart and soul with not a whole lot of substance to base their team around. I think that they could fold up their tents and go home if they get down late. I think 10 is definitely not insurmountable if you're the Sixers, but I think regardless, the series is over. And if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I think the Sixers win by at least 10.
Okay.
That's just my first crack at it. But again, if you want the experts, check with AJ and Fred on the next show. Lawrence wants to get in here. He wants to switch gears and talk a little bit about the draft. Lawrence, what's up?
Yeah, I've been watching like a lot of ESPN. You know, it's getting ready for the draft or whatever. But it's not a lot of talk about wide receivers this year, and it's like everybody's forgetting about Ridley out there in Alabama. What you guys think? I hang up a little.
Ridley's the guy that had been up until about a week ago as the highest rated guy. That was a top 15 guy. They said that. Starting with Green Bay and teams in between 13 and 15, that they're going to take a hard look at him. But I think that if in recent days there's been more and more discussions, but I don't think it's names that you like are you know, household names from big time programs that you're hanging a hat on. It'd be great if we could get Lance on, but he's already at the draft. I don't know if Barry, if you have any more insight on that.
Yeah, that kid from Maryland. What is his name? There's a there. I've been seeing a lot of people talking about him. DJ Moore. DJ Moore out of Maryland is a guy that you might see some people pretty high on. Maybe it's just not, it happens where it's just not a good draft for certain positions. And I think in this draft, receiver is one of those where you've got a guy in Calvin Ridley that, you know, you is probably going to be playing on Sundays and doing well, but it's just not a good wide receiver draft. So.
No, yeah, absolutely. And again, if you want to check with Lance Zierlein, online. Mm-hmm. You can follow. He's got mock drafts. A lot of guys have mock drafts out there right now. But yeah, it's not a deep per se, as Barry's right. But again, there's always those sleepers that no one thought about that didn't have the big time performance in college, but has the talent that scouts take a look at when they start analyzing guys that could actually make a difference on the next level. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited. I mean, look, for as long as we've been talking about the draft, and again, I'm not a big fan of this three-day process with the draft over 3 days, but the fact that on Thursday we already start talking about draft picks, that's that means football's around the corner. That's always a good thing.
Yep. I'm excited. I can't wait for the first Texans pick.
What is that? That's on Friday?
Probably.
Unless they could trade in.
Yeah. But yeah, Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, Charlie Casserly, and Charles Davis, all of the NFL.com, all have Calvin Ridley as the first wide receiver going out at number 15. So
okay. And what about after that?
I don't see any other wide receivers after that. Oh, yeah, DJ Chark.
DJ Moore from Maryland.
DJ Moore is on Charlie Casserly's second wide receiver.
Who's the guy you mentioned, Nick?
DJ Chark.
From
LSU.
LSU, okay.
So, yeah.
It'll be interesting. Look, I mean, it's like from year to year it changes, but yeah, I don't think it's a deep, Barry, right? I don't think it's a deep wide receiver draft, but we'll see.
I forgot the percentage of, like, what it, like, when Mayock and all these guys do their mock draft, what is their accuracy? What is their percentage? It's like really, really low.
It's hard. I mean, even Lance will tell you how difficult it is. And he prides himself on trying to be right and nail as many as he possibly can, at least to get those guys to be drafted in the round that he said they're going to be drafted. But it changes because of team needs and everything else. It fluctuates so much.
Plus, they're probably getting some inaccurate information from some of these teams because they don't want to reveal everything.
Smoke screens and marketing campaigns so they get the guys that they want.
Well, it's a great point because, like you were saying before we went to one of the breaks where you were giving me kudos for Baker Mayfield, I saw that story that was out there saying that the Browns were considering Baker Mayfield. Okay, and it was an unknown source. And how much of that is posturing by the agents and other teams and the Browns and trying to throw people off? And if they know that the Giants are really high on Baker Mayfield, of course they're going to say they might take Baker Mayfield because they could probably parlay that into extra picks and a swap with the Giants or whatever. So you have to be cautious when you hear those things because so much posturing going on. That's why you can't blame these guys that aren't nailing their picks year in and year out. They get so much bad information.
Well, that's why we're not like the Man Center. We're not here to sell you short, Barry. We're here to promote the fact that you had Baker Mayfield climbing the charts. And, hey, Baker Mayfield could go number one overall, and you said he was going to be that high of a pick, and that's a great call on your part. So there you have it.
That's it.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. I got a question for you guys coming back because of all the people that we've been talking about in terms of possible cap casualties. There's one that's being thrown out there about your boys on Kirby, and it's an interesting dialogue to be had in terms of would you be willing to say goodbye to a guy that was brought in to be one of the guys for your Houston Texans? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more next. Don't go anywhere. The final hour is right around the corner on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.